As you can see, we're cranking up a brand new series today, and I'm so excited to continue through. I'm going to tell you, over these past few weeks, it has been fun going through the summer, because here's the thing that I know. Number one, it's an honor and a privilege to be here every week, and it's crazy that God lets us do this and lets us be a part of what he's doing. But number two, I just feel like 2019 has just been a foundational year where Jesus is just showing us a little glimpse of what he's doing as he's growing us. And so through the summer, we've just been building upon building upon building upon building on things to see what Jesus is doing. And that's what we're continuing to do in this series called Alter Ego. Because if we're completely honest, as you saw in the beginning, we get caught up in the labels that others give us. We get caught up in what they say about us, but believe it or not, sometimes we get caught up in a checkbox and a form. We get caught in a job position title. We get caught in the kind of car we drive, the kind of house we live in, the zeros before the decimal in the bank account. Am I right? Don't we get caught in that? And what we're going to unpack in this series is how we are so much more than that, and how we can be who Jesus made us to be who God created us to be by laying ourselves down in who we think we are, and instead step into who God says we are. Now, I want to put all my cards on the table before we even dive into Scripture. This isn't going to be some messages where you just get beat up and I tell you everything you got to give up and everything you got to stop doing and quit doing, because y'all know that's not how I roll. But I will tell you, there may be a moment during this series where you feel convicted. That's okay. That's the Holy Spirit. I don't want you to just think that, oh my goodness, how do I respond to this? Know that you got a family around you that wants to walk with you through that. And that's why we're here as the church. So here we go. We're going to get ready as we go into this brand new series called Alter Ego. We're going to be rallying around this verse found in Luke 9, verse 25. And it's just one verse, so if you don't want to flip there, you don't have to. We'll get there to our main scripture here in just a moment. But Luke 9, verse 25 says this: "What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self?" Another version says, "What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his very soul?" And that's what we're going to talk about in through this series, because if I'm completely honest, sometimes we don't know who we really are, do we? Because of those labels, because of those things. So we're going to kick off this series with me first. Really, me first. We're going to go me first. There's some folks paying attention. I see some smiles. So we're going to kick off this series with me first. And if you got your Bible today, you're going to get to Genesis 25. We're going to be walking through a story we've heard before in Genesis 32. But if you want a Bible, we've got some free for the asking in the back over at the garden, which, by the way, whenever you come hang out with us, we've got a seat saved for you. We've got some great stuff for you in the garden. Come hang out and see us there. But we've got a free Bible for you there. Or I'm going to show you how you can follow along with us on the Bible app here. You want to download that from your favorite app store or through social media. I found that out this week. You can do it through social media. Once you do that, you're going to go ahead and make sure that you click the More tab. Here we go. We're getting there. Click the More tab. And when you do that, you're going to click on Events. Make sure your location services is on. And once you do that, you're going to see the Vine TV worship experience, Alter Ego, Me First. You're going to see all the scripture we're going to walk through. But not only that, you're going to see places you can connect with us. If there's any way that I can serve you or we can serve you, please just reach out to us at the contact info there. So we're going to dive into Me First before we get to Genesis 25 and say, can we agree that we live in a Me First culture? Is that a shock to everyone? Like, there's nothing that says, oh my goodness, we live in a me-first culture. I mean, all that happened is, this has been going on since the dawn of time, since the Garden of Eden, to be honest with you. But the me-first thing is, social media has just made that bigger. And if we're not careful, we can fall into this me-first mentality. And what it'll do is it'll give us extreme confidence and extreme elation on the mountaintop. And we'll think we're unstoppable, right? But if we get stuck in me first, when we hit the valley, it'll lead us to utter destruction. And so what I think that we need to do, and what we're going to unpack as we dive into Alter Ego, is this me first mentality that we can get stuck in is this: so many times, the reason we do it is we like to be recognized. You see, that's why the rise of social media is so important, because we do things for likes. We do things for follows, we do things for shares, we do things for comments, we do things for this hot take, or we do things so that way we can just do some crazy, some things with, say, some crazy outlandish statements. And we know that, because what will happen is if it was too negative, then it gets deleted a few hours later, right? Or sometimes people just do that. Or people will announce a chicken sandwich that's not really a chicken sandwich. If you know, you know. Just time-stamped it and made it a sign of the times, right? And then they never have it. If you know, you know. If you don't, I'm sorry. So we strive to be recognized. And the thing is, so many times, it may not, the way that we want to be recognized could be in our possessions, could be in our bank account, could be in our label, could be in our job title. But we may say, hey, I serve, and I don't strive to be recognized, and I'm not all about this possession game. Instead, I'm all about something more. I want to be recognized, but as long as I'm not as bad as that person, I'm okay. And what I mean by that is, if I'm skinnier than that person, if I look better than that person, if my job's a little bit better than that person, if I get to a place where I just feel like I'm a little bit better than that person, and that me first culture will translate into our Christian life. Well, I read my Bible more than that person. I prayed two more words than that person. I served two more days than that person. I showed up at church 2 minutes earlier than that person. And what I want us to do today is break free of me first. So we're going to unpack how we can break free of this me first mentality, because when we center our life on me first, we're going to live a life that's filled with never enough. It'll never be enough. When it's me first, you can win the lottery and it'll be like, well, it wasn't the biggest jackpot. Give me $249 million. Let's see what fun we can have. Y'all ready? We're going to have a lot of fun. I'm going to tell you what, Vine, we're going places, y'all. We're going to go travel around the world and have church. I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to have some fun. We're going to do Jesus's work around the world. But yet when we live in me first, it'll always never be enough. So maybe that's where you find yourself right now. You feel like it's never enough. You feel like no matter what comes your way, the good, bad, the ugly, it's never enough. It's never enough. And so today, let's break free of that. So if you've got your Bible, we're going to dive into Genesis 25, and we're going to talk about this alter ego of me first, of me first. So you've heard this story before, so if you've been in church for a little bit, but if not, it's going to be awesome because I believe you're going to see something new today. So Genesis 25, we're going to start in verse 21, and it says this, Isaac. So really quickly, Isaac is the son of Abraham. Remember, we've talked about him before. He was Abraham's only son. But then again, we know that Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the... I just brought back Backyard Bible Club and VBS. I see some motions. We're good. So if you know, you know. Church life. So Isaac is at this moment, and he prays. And remember, God tells Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations. And Abraham's like, I'm 90 years old, and I ain't even got no kid. Like, what are you talking about? I'm going to be the father of many nations. And so his son, Isaac, is stuck in the same place. He's childless, and he's saying, okay, God, like, you told my daddy that we're going to be the father, he's going to be the father of many nations, and there ain't nothing left but me, so what's going on? So he prays to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was childless. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife, Rebekah, became pregnant. The babies jostled within her, and she said what every new parent says at 3 o'clock in the morning when you got to be at work at 5 and the baby hasn't stopped crying. She said, why is this happening to me? Now, I don't have kids, so I can't even imagine what that looks like. Mine would be something different, but I can see parents. A lot of times that's what new parents I see is, why is this happening to me? Like, this is crazy. Why is this happening to me? We prayed for this child. Why is this happening to me? So she went to inquire of the Lord. Some people know what I'm talking about, and some are about to know what I'm talking about. So she went and inquired of the Lord. So don't miss this. Don't miss this. I think so many times where we can get stuck, it ain't a think, I know, is what if we instead inquired of the Lord instead of going to those friends that have no clue what you're talking about or really are going to tell you what you want to hear instead of what you need to hear? What if we inquired of the Lord what was happening in our life and why we were in the season we were in? I wonder how much different that would change us. Jesus has been reminding me of that, so maybe he's just telling me that, so that's free of charge right there. But maybe that's where we can get stuck, and maybe that's where we're stuck in me first, is we haven't really inquired of the Lord why he has us right where he has us. Instead, we're too busy complaining. Instead, we're trying to figure out why this is happening to us on our own instead of going to the one who's in control of it all. So as they go on in verse 23, and the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Praise God, twins. If you know, you know. Praise God. Two nations are in your womb, And two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger. I love how God takes the things that everybody says isn't enough, and that's exactly what he works through. The people that are the least are the ones that God chooses to work through. So today, maybe you're the youngest. Jesus can work through you. Living proof. Living proof right here. So when the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first came out, and he was red. It was not Taylor Swift, I'm telling you, but he was red. He was red. And his whole body was like a hairy garment. So they named him Esau. So I love how they gave names to babies back then, is they waited till they saw you to name you, okay? So once you were seen, then they would give you a name. So imagine that. You're named and your parents call you Harry. Now, you may know a Harry. I'm not talking about a H-A-R-R-Y. I'm talking about H-A-I-R-Y, Harry. Hey, everybody, welcome to the family. Here's a Christmas gift from Santa to Harry. What did you get him, a comb? Like, what in the world? So Harry was his name. The first baby was Red and Harry. And to me, it sounds like a Muppet. Like, really, I can't even think of the Muppet's name that was Red and Harry. But anyway, sounds like a Muppet, Red and Harry. So Esau came out. They named him Harry, which is Esau. After this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob, which if you look at your footnotes means heel grabber, later goes on to mean deceiver. So imagine that family photo. Imagine that family photo every year. Hey, everyone, meet our children, Harry and the heel grabber. Like, it sounds like a band, right? Harry and the heel grabber. Those are my kids. Harry and the heel. Thank God that our parents don't do that now. And so if you think you've got a bad name, you aren't named Harry and the heel grabber, okay? Just know that. So Isaac and Jacob are born, and look at this. So prepare your hearts, parents. If you think, man, I'm too old to do this, check this out. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. How many folks are over 60 in the room? Exactly. Who's ready for twins when you turn 60? Only if they're grandbabies and you can send them home, right? Is that what it is? Tough crowd. So that being said, that's where we are. So the first thing I want you to see outside of that is we see the power of prayer. I want you to see the power of a name in that Jacob and Esau, they were given a label on their life that they couldn't control. And as we see, there are so many labels, excuse me, that can be given to us that are outside of our control. The difference is what we do with them. Because Jacob spends his whole life being defined by that label. He spends his whole life being the deceiver. His whole life is the heel grabber. So if you're taking notes today and we talk into this alter ego of me first, I want you to see this. We are born me first. We are born me first. It's no coincidence. The reason that we're stuck in me first is we are born me first. That's exactly what Jacob was doing, is he was just grabbing at a heel. He was in competition with his brother in the womb. In the womb, they were fighting each other. And you see, what ended up happening is from the beginning, Jacob was just trying to get ahead. And how many of us know about that life? I'm just trying to get ahead. You know, Jesus died not to get you ahead, because the more I fight to try to get ahead, the further behind I seem to fall. I don't know about you, but that's where I am. And when I'm trying to fight to get ahead, I'm trying to chase something that doesn't matter. That's where Jacob is. He's in competition with his brother. And the reason is, at this time, the firstborn got the birthright and the blessing. And to him, that's important, because he's the secondborn. You're always going to start out with Harry, and he's always going to be the heel grabber. It's never going to be, Jacob was second in line to be introduced everywhere he went. Even though his brother was just born a few seconds probably before him, or a minute before him. So enough to where he could grab the heel. And yet Jacob spends his whole life fighting that. And so what I want to tell you is, if you struggle with understanding original sin, or you ever think you aren't born me first, here's your prime example. One of my favorite, I'll tell you a little bit about me. One of my favorite pictures of me, and you're going to know when you see it. So I had curly blonde hair, white blonde hair as a baby. And one of my favorite pictures of me is a blue shirt that had my first word on it. No. And if you still know me, you're going to say, you ain't learned much more than that word. And you're right. Just know that when I tell you no, it's an opportunity for a yes down the road, okay? So that was my first word, was no. Do you think anybody had to teach me no? You say, well, no, that they've heard you say no. Well, let me ask you this. Put two toddlers in a room and put one toy in the middle of it. There's a word you don't have to teach them because they're going to both go get that toy, and the word you're going to hear is either no or mine. Like, you don't have to teach a toddler that. You don't have to teach a child that. We are born in that nature, but I want you to think back. If you have a toddler, how much time do you have to spend teaching them please and thank you? Take some time, right? Actually, so that it's not just a word that's just out there, it means something. It takes time. So that's where we can be in our walk when we're stuck in me first. We can be fighting this life so hard that we go about everything we do and we say, mine, it's mine. I want the recognition. No, you can't have this. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. And it goes back to the Garden of Eden. Because remember, we talk about this all the time. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He was there with us in the garden. And on the sixth day, he made Eve and Adam. He made us. He made man and wife. And everything was right. We were in a right relationship with God, which put us in a right relationship with each other. But then Satan slithered his way in, deceives Adam and Eve, and says, maybe you know better about your life than your creator. And so he deceives them to take the fruit of the tree that they were told they could have anything but that fruit. And so they took matters into their own hands and they said, mine. And when that happened, from that moment on, all of us were born into rebellion and a broken relationship with God and a broken relationship with each other as a result of being in a broken relationship with God. We are born me first. Now, God in his grace and mercy said, hey, I want to make a way that we can have a right relationship. So he sent his only son to live the perfect life we couldn't live, die the death we deserved on the cross for our sins, and loved us enough that he gives us the power of the Holy Spirit that rose him from the dead when we confess him as our Lord and Savior. But the thing is, we've got to first be at a place where we understand that we're living a life of me first. And so if we're Christians, sometimes I'm afraid in our comfort and in following Jesus, we get stuck in me first because it's our nature, it's our default. And so let's break free of that, because Jacob's story goes on. We're going to dive a little bit in and through this throughout the series and some other stories through the Bible where we see some alter ego things. But Jacob's story is this, if you don't know. Jacob grows up with his brother Esau, with his brother Harry. They grow up. And Jacob cons his brother out of his birthright with some soup and beans. But you see, it wasn't just the birthright, it was the blessing that Jacob was after. So he gets older, and he cons his brother out of his blessing. He goes to his father Isaac, and Isaac is old and blind, kind of like me, he can't see real well. He's old and blind, and so Jacob goes, and he puts on an Esau costume. And the costume is sheepskin. Or goat skin, excuse me. It's hairy. It makes him hairy because Jacob is smooth. He's smooth. He's that smooth guy. You know, he's cool cutting, deceiving man. He's the con man. He's the salesman. Like, he's the one you see in the videos, you know. Like, he's the one in the sales pitch. He's the guy you send in to close a deal. And his brother Esau was an outdoorsman. So he goes to Isaac, and he's got these goat skins on. He puts it on his neck. He smells like Esau. He feels like Esau. But Isaac said, you sound like Jacob. And Isaac asked him, who are you? And he says, Jacob looks at his dad and says, I'm Esau. I'm here to get my blessing. And so Isaac gives Jacob his blessing. He cons his father out of his brother's blessing. So quick side note here. Here's the thing I want to tell you. No matter where you are, you may think you can fool everyone around you, but your voice will give you away. Who you are will eventually come out. And that's okay, because once you get there, we're going to see that's when Jesus does some work. That's incredible if you'll just be who he made you to be. But instead, we'll throw on these costumes, because all of us can get stuck here, right? Between who we are and who we are created to be, and we've got this gap that we try to fill with things. So we'll just put costume after costume after costume on. And we think that it's okay because we'll put a costume on just like Jacob did to be blessed. On October 31st, we're going to put some costumes on to get blessed, ain't we? With some Reese pumpkins and some Snickers and whatever else that looks like, and Hershey bars. We want to get blessed. And so the thing is that I want to tell you is Jesus made you more than that, to be more than that costume. Stop putting it on. You're born me first. Stay who you are because you realize who he is. And quick note to young adults, I just want to tell you, you are in a season in your life where you are grabbing at attention because you are finding out who you are. You don't need to dress a certain way or talk a certain way to get attention from someone who can never love you like the Savior can. And I just want to tell you that today, wherever you are, maybe you're in college, I don't know, maybe this is for an adult right now. You don't have to dress that way or talk that way for them to like you, because what they give you is temporary, and the love that they will give you can never compare to the love of a Savior. So don't do it. I know you want to do it. You don't want to do it because your parents say, don't wear that, don't talk that way, don't be that way. But I'm telling you, it's not worth it. It's not. All it's going to do is leave you searching and hungering for more. Because what Jacob did was that. He stole his brother's blessing. And all was right in the world. He won the lottery and they made a movie and they did all this. No. See, when Jacob steals his brother's blessing, his mama tells him, you got to run because your brother's going to kill you. And so he runs for 20 years. Now remember, Isaac was 60 when he had them babies, when he had the twins. How old do you think Jacob was when this happened? If I gave a number in your head, how old do you think he is? How many people think he's a teenager? Maybe in his 20s or 30s. He was 71 when he stole his brother's birthright. Right? What Jesus and what God is trying to tell us is we can spend our whole life trying to be somebody else and miss out on the blessing he has for us and chasing the blessing of someone else. And yet he was in his 70s when that happened, and he had to run for 20 years from the blessing of a family because he had to steal it. And I'm telling you, I think we can all get stuck there, because when we live in that me first and we never get out of that phase, Jacob found out. He got what he wanted, but when he wanted it, it wasn't what he got. He spent his whole life trying to get there. He finally got what he wanted. He wanted that blessing. And then when he got it, he realized how much he didn't want it. It wasn't worth it. I had to be on the run. He had to go to his uncle Laban, and he had to go out there. And what can happen with ourselves is we have to understand is we may get the blessing of someone else but lose ourselves in the process, and that's gaining the world yet forfeiting our soul. And Jesus said it's not worth it, and he's absolutely right. So whatever costume you try to put on, if you try to put on a hairy suit, if you will, stop putting them on. Jesus doesn't want your costume to be on. We can get through this. So we go on. That's Jacob's story. And what we're going to pick up with, we have to understand first that we're born me first. And then we're going to learn a little bit more from Jacob. So if you got your Bible, flip over a few pages to Genesis 32, okay? If you're in the Bible app, you just got to scroll up. So if you'll flip over a few pages to Genesis 32, you can see more of Jacob's story. So he's on the run. He's like Smokey and the Bandit. He's on the run, all right? So he's out there. He's on the run, and he realizes, I've lied and deceived enough. Now that my uncle Laban is out to get me, I've got to go back home. But when he goes back home, guess who's still waiting for him at home? His brother Esau. And now he's on the way back home, and he's realizing, I've got to meet my brother who's going to kill me, who I stole everything from. And now I've got to meet with him. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that later in one of the weeks about how God is faithful through that reconciliation. But I want us to pick up in Genesis 32, verse 22, to see Jacob is at this place. And if you've got a Bible that's got subtitles, you're going to see exactly where we're going through and what we're going to walk through. So verse 22 says it this way. That night Jacob got up and he took his two wives, his two female servants, his 11 sons, and he crossed the ford at Jabbok. Single dudes, tune out to that. We'll talk about that later. That's going to be another message for another time. That ain't how we roll where Jacob is. So, verse 23, after he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all of his possessions. And if you've got your Bible, you got a highlighter, you got a pen, I want to tell you, write in your Bible, but I want you to see something, how verse 24 starts. So Jacob was left all alone. Before we go on, for the first time in Jacob's life, he sent all of his labels ahead of him. He is finally by himself. His whole life, he grew up being second fiddle. His whole life, he grew up probably being the second handshake. His whole life, he grew up being the con man, the salesman. His whole life, he was labeled as something. And for the first time in his life, he's all alone. He sends everything that was a label ahead of him. And maybe that's where you feel right now. What we're about to see is God does his best work when we're left all alone. And we get rid of all of the labels, all the junk, all the things that we let define us, except me, except you, except who you really are. And for the first time in Jacob's life, he is left alone. And what ends up happening, they have WrestleMania, okay? And a man wrestles with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched. And as he wrestled with the man, I shouldn't be laughing here, but remember how old I told you Jacob was? He was in his 70s. He was like 71 when he stole his birthright. He's been on the run for 20 years. So we learned that it was because he touched the man's hip, but let's be wrong. He was 90 years old. His hip just gave out. I'm 35 and my hip gives out. Like his hip just gave. If I had to wrestle somebody all night long, 3 minutes. I mean, I don't know. We have some folks who wrestled. Alex wrestled in high school. I've talked about it. That's the longest 6 minutes of your life going through all those rounds, isn't it? Like going back and forth. I couldn't last 2 minutes wrestling with God. That would be it. My hip would give out too. Either that or be the old football injury. You know, you got to get that going just to stop wrestling. So I think about this and I laugh. And I've told you, God has a sense of humor. If you've been walking with us through Thursday Night Greenhouse, you know, this is how I know God has a sense of humor, because he talks to me that way through that. So verse 26 says it this way. The man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied this, so important for us. "I will not let you go until you bless me." You see, Jacob's still chasing a blessing, isn't he? He's already stole his brothers. He's already been given the thing that he wanted. As a matter of fact, he wanted a wife with sons. He's got 11 sons. His 12th son, maybe you've heard about, his son Joseph, that has the coat of many colors that will come later. But he's already got everything he said and thought he ever wanted. Yet he wrestles with a man all night and says, "I ain't gonna let you go till you bless me." You see, what's so important to me here is what we have to understand is not only do we have to know that we are born me first, we have to understand our next step when we realize who we are and we're left all alone is we got to wrestle with who we are. We will wrestle with who we are. Jacob isn't really, when I see Jacob and God wrestling here, we're going to see that it's actually an angel of the Lord here in a moment. He's wrestling with who he is because he's finally realizing that everything he thought he wanted, he was living in a me-first culture, and it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. The wives, the sons, the sheep that he had that he went, and the story you'll see how he went over Laban to bless himself and made sure that he breeded the sheep to be spotted instead of non-spotted, and he got to take all the spotted. I mean, it's just crazy. He spent his whole life chasing that blessing. And so he finally gets something and he realizes it's important and says, "Just bless me." How many of us get there with God? Just bless me. Just bless me. Like, this is what I'm looking for. I finally found what I'm looking for. I've wrestled myself down to the ground and I'm not letting go until you bless me. That's where Jacob is. Even with a busted up hip, he's saying, "I will not let go." Two things I feel like we have to learn that when we wrestle with who we are is no matter what season you're in, don't let go of God. Because he's the only one who can really bring you the blessing that you need. Don't let go. You're in a season where maybe you want to let go. It'd be easy to let go. Like if my hip was giving out, "I'll see you on the other side, Jesus. I'll see you on the other side, God. Like I'm not going to fight with you all night." We ain't fighting. This ain't Fight Club. I'm not going to fight with you all night. But Jacob has this tenacity. He spent his whole life chasing something and he finally found it. And he said, "I won't let you go until you bless me." I wonder if we had that tenacity. Not to chase after a blessing, but to hold on to God even in the hardest times when it would be so easy to let go. Because you see, Jacob has been grabbing at things his whole life. Remember, he was born grabbing that heel, and now he's wrestling with God, and he's still, like, not letting go. And I wonder if that's where some of us may be if we're stuck in this me first. I wonder if we can see that as we're wrestling with who we are, that so many times in our life, when God wants to really change us, we're going to face a conflict where we got to wrestle with who we are versus who God created us to be. And that gap, what we fill it with will show us what our faith is. What we fill it with will show us who we are. And I will tell you, every time I've tried to fill that gap with something else other than Jesus, man, oh man, I'm like, man, I'm just trying to get ahead. But when I filled that gap with Jesus, I've always been able to take one step closer to who he created me to be. And when I fill it with Jesus, and sometimes I got to wrestle myself to the ground, and sometimes I'm wrestling with who I think he created me to be instead of understanding and believing what he says about me and who he created me to be, I take a step forward when I trust him. But you see, so many times in our life, what we'll end up doing is we'll just try to fill that gap with one more thing. I'm just going to add one more layer. I'm going to add one more filter. I'm going to add one more costume. And when we wrestle with who we are, we just keep weighing ourselves down. But what is it that Jesus said he came to do? He came to set us free, didn't he? He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came so that they may have life and have it to the full. We can't have a full life when we've got all these costumes on and we're trying to hide ourselves behind it. So today, maybe you're wrestling with who you really are. Look at Jacob. I believe we can identify with him. If you're wrestling with who you are, understand there's something greater for you when you know what's going on and when you know who your creator is. The story goes on in verse 27 to say, the man asked, what is your name? Jacob. For the first time in Jacob's life, he said Jacob with confidence, I guarantee you. For the first time in his life, he didn't have to say he was Esau. He didn't have to say he was something else to get a blessing. He didn't have to say that he was pretending to be something else. He didn't have to go about trying to wear a costume. He literally was left there with his hip busted up, and the man said, what is your name? And does anybody else find it, this is Jesus' sense of humor, they've been wrestling all night and they don't know each other's name. Like, if I'm going to go wrestle somebody, they had to have an intro, right? Like, they had to come down to the ring with something, but they didn't. They didn't even say hello to each other. They just went straight to the struggle, you know? And then all of a sudden, they took a breather, and it's like, oh, what's your name, man? How you doing? I'm Tyler. Nice to see you. My hip's busted up. Like, right? But that's what we do with God. We don't realize he's right in front of us, and we'll wrestle him too much instead of just seeing what he's trying to do in us. And so Jacob, for the first time, answers, I'm the deceiver. I'm the heel grabber. And look what happens. The man says, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. You see, this is what I love about Jesus. That verse, do you know what Israel means? God prevails. God prevails. So Jacob the deceiver was told in this moment that he had struggled with God and had overcome humans, but I'm going to name you God prevails. So God is showing us, even in those moments where we feel like we can't take enough and we feel like we're fighting for victory, that we can fight from victory, he's going to let us experience it. He said, God prevails is what I'm going to name you, even though in this moment, I want you to know you prevailed. And the reason he was telling him he prevailed is he finally realized who he really was. And Jacob again said, please tell me your name. Jacob didn't even get the man's name. But he replied, why do you ask me my name? Then he blessed him right there. So instead, I just think it's so funny. I can't help it, but I think it's so funny. They've wrestled all night. Jacob's got a busted up hip. He can't walk no more. We're praying for injuries for some of us right now. He's a busted up hip. He can't walk no more. He doesn't even get the guy's name. He just heard that he's wrestled with the Lord. We know this is an angel of the Lord. He's wrestled with the Lord all night. His name's been changed. And Jacob's like, yeah, man, that's awesome. I'm about to get a blessing. What's your name? And the guy's like, I'm going to bless you. And he's on. He's on out. How crazy is that? But that's how faithful God is. Out of nowhere, we will see him. Out of nowhere, when we finally see who we were created to be, when we finally see the gap, when we finally see what he's calling us to do, the next step he's calling us to take, out of nowhere, he just shows up, and all of a sudden, there's a blessing. How many people have ever been there? You've just been blessed out of nowhere. You just don't understand it. Like, all of a sudden, you're like, you know what, Jesus? If you just have somebody call me to make me feel like I matter today. Just somebody call me. Ring, crap. You know, I don't want to answer the phone. They know they were supposed to text. Isn't that what we say half the time? Right? No, I didn't know text me. Right? That's what we do. But that's what God, that's the God that we serve. That's the God that loves us. That's our very creator. And so as we've let go of this me first and we wrestle down who we really are, Jacob sees that he is getting blessed because he finally brought all of himself to God. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. See, this was the turning point. This was a turning point for Jacob. He finally faced the truth. He finally faced the truth, the real truth that is God. And yet he finally answered truthfully. So the third thing I want you to see is when we finally know who we are and we step into it and we realize what we are, God reveals who we are. He says, "You're not Jacob, you're something more. You're not just Jacob. You're not just the second born. You're not the heel grabber. You're so much more than that. You're so much more than the deceiver. You're so much more. You were made for so much more than that. You weren't made to con your way through this life, say all the right things, pray all the right prayers, give all the right tithes, serve all the right way." See how we can get stuck in me first? You were made for a relationship, a life that is full and so much more than that. So I'm giving you a new name, and you will be known as Jacob. You see, so many times we get stuck in this because we think we can fool God with our surprises, don't we? If you've got kids, you know when they're lying, right? The rest of the world may not. The teacher may not know. The coach may not know. But mom and dad know. They know what's going on with you. They know what's going on with you. They can tell when you're lying. And don't that frustrate you? Don't you just get mad? Did you break that? No. I remember that blue shirt you wore. You did break it. Stop saying no. You broke it. They know. So why do we treat God that way? Why do we tell God who we need to be instead of trusting him and stepping into who he created us to be? We tell God, "This is what I need to be successful. God, I need to have this microphone. God, I need to have this bank account. God, I need to have this car. God, I need to have this house. God, I need to have this many kids. God, I need to have this as a spouse. God, I need to have this. God, why aren't you blessing me? God, why aren't you doing this? If I'm really yours and you really love me, won't you give me that?" God is showing us in that we are stuck in a me first mentality. All the times that I got to serve, as I got to serve in stores and I got to serve in building teams, the number one thing they tell you in leadership is to find this, the WIFM. Anybody ever heard of this, the WIFM? WIIFM, the WIFM. What's in it for me? If you can let somebody else know what's in it for them, they will buy into you lock, stock, and barrel, and they'll follow you wherever you want to lead them. The WIFM, as I used to call it, not a radio station, but the WIFM. And the good thing about that is you can help someone's motivation. The bad thing about it is they usually never grow out of me. And to grow, you got to understand that it's really not about me. It's about something so much more. Because the thing that Jacob got to realize in this as he's stepping in to meet his brother and God reveals who he really is, he's changed. He's 91. He broke a hip. How many people want to have a 90-year-old that broke a hip? We know the sad stories now of how that affects our life. When we encounter God, it's the same way, but not the negative impact. We are changed. Changed so much, people have to say, "Hey, what happened to you? There's something different about you." When we step into being who God created us to be, that's what happens to each and every one of us. We know that 2 Corinthians verse. Where we are made new in Christ, the old has passed away, right? But the thing is, I want you to see how faithful God is because, you see, Jacob left saying, "What is your name?" And I don't think Jacob really never nails down who it is. We say it's an angel. He says, "You've wrestled with God and men," but it was dark. The guy was gone. And when do we wrestle with ourselves the most in our life? It's usually when it's dark. And that's where Jacob was. But you see how faithful God is there was this guy named Moses in Exodus. And if you've got your Bible, you can turn there. It's Exodus 3, just a few more pages over. And you see what's really funny is that question that Jacob asked was the same question Moses asked. What's your name? Because see, Jacob's sons and daughters are now in bondage in Egypt. And Israel, this nation of Israel, are slaves in Egypt. And God says, hey, I've chosen someone, I've made a leader to get them out of bondage. And Moses, that's you. And Moses says, I got a stutter, I got something wrong with me. You don't understand, I'm a murderer, they're not going to believe me. So what's the name of the person that I'm telling them that is sending me? And so verse 14 in Exodus 3 says this, God says to Moses, I am who I am. One of my favorite verses. Yahweh, he's there. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. This is the name you shall call me from generation to generation. The last thing I want you to understand is he's the God of Jacob too. How easy would it have been for him to say, I'm the God of Israel? Because remember, he changed his name. He changed his name. And so that's what we think so many times when we come to God is we got to clean ourselves up. We got to get our act together. We've got to have everything right, everything in line, all our ducks in a row. And instead, the only way that we can ever truly be changed by God is if we don't give him all of who we are. We just give him the pretty parts, the parts that sound real good in the autobiography, the parts that you put on the backside of the thing, of the book cover. That's what we think we have to be as we follow God. But I want you to see that God doesn't say that. He said forever. You are to tell them, this is my name forever, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. See, that's where we get stuck, isn't it? That's when we'll bring to God our costumes and have these veiled promises of, if you'll only bless me, God, if you'll only work through me. And I've prayed that prayer. But I'll tell you how God always changed my heart as even getting ready for this is I don't pray that God just works through me. I just pray that God does a work. See the difference? When I'm stuck in me first, I forget that he's God of Jacob too. He wants all my ugly parts and he's going to use every ugly part about me for his glory and for my good. And so if you're stuck in me first, I just want to say, have you ever really finally admitted who you really are to God? Have you ever just put it in there, put it all there to him? And I promise you, whenever you take, like, have you ever been to a watchmaker? And like, you've got a busted up watch and you just bring in the pieces. Did anybody wear a watch? I guess an Apple Watch would be it. I don't know. So anyway, people don't, I used to wear watches. So hang in with me with this example, but it's for real. If you got all these pieces of this watch that got busted and you bring it to the watchmaker, he puts it back together and it just starts working again, right? What we end up doing to God is if we don't bring all the pieces of us to him, even the broken ones, he can't make us work as we were created to work and be who we were created to be. So instead, we just end up being a watch without a second hand, a watch without a minute hand. And what good is that? It just tells you the hour. Well, it's nine. Nine what? Half past a freckle. I don't know. It's nine. That's all I got. It doesn't help anyone around you. But you see, when you have that minute hand and that hour hand, it not only helps you, it helps those around you see something in a new way. So I want you to see today, and I want you to ask yourself, have you ever really admitted who you are to God? Because we briefly talked about it, but Romans 5:8 nails it and shows us and reminds us who we really are. It says this, but God demonstrates his own love for us. And that while we were sinners, while we were yet sinners, Christ still died for us, because no matter what, we all start at the same place. We all start at the same place. We all start born me first, and it's mine, and it's all about me. And that me and that pride and that thing that's all about us is sin. And the thing is, that sin and that brokenness is we will spend our whole life searching to fill that void that we can never fill in this world with something that will never fill it but God alone. And the thing is, God loved us enough that he made a way. And so he sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross. He lived the perfect life we couldn't live, died the death we deserve on the cross, but loved us enough not to stay dead. He rose again on the third day so that we can have life and have it to the full, so that we can have a life that's not full of costumes. So we didn't have to get up every day and figure out what face we were going to paint on, so that we didn't have to worry about what mask we were going to wear, what filter we were going to wear, what thing we were going to wear to try to get the attention of this world. Instead, Jesus said, no, 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 you're worth so much more than that. Because the things of this world will fade away, but what I give you will last forever. But it starts with us admitting that we were a sinner and that we are sinners in need of a Savior. And the only Savior that's ever come to this world that's given you something that will last forever is Jesus Christ. There was nothing that you could ever do to earn it, nothing I could ever do to earn it. There's no way, no amount of Bible verses we could memorize, no amount of prayers we could pray, no amount of time that we could give, no matter perfect faces and perfect photos and perfect images and perfect little cars and houses that we could ever have to get us to God. But Jesus made a way. So in this moment, maybe you've never realized who you really are, and today the Spirit has shown you who you really are. A sinner in need of a Savior. You see, we've all been there. The difference between some and the others is some have realized we are sinners in need of a Savior and we've received the gift of salvation from Jesus Christ. But others of us, this is the next step he's called us to take to be who we were created to be. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, we're going to take this moment now for those who have never given their life to the Lord to finally receive the gift to be who you were created to be. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want you to take a moment to think, have you ever just given everything you are to the Lord? Have you ever just laid it all down? Have you ever understood who you really are? Or do you continue to wrestle? Do you continue to try to be who you think everyone needs you to be? Do you continue to work through this world? Or will you just take a moment and receive him? Will you just receive him? Will you just lay everything down to him and say, Lord, I'm yours. Jesus, I know I need a Savior, and you are my only hope. And so right now, we're about to pray a prayer. It's not the words of this prayer, but it's the faith of this prayer that Jesus is who he says he is. And so with every head bow and every eye closed, I'm going to ask everyone to repeat after me for the benefit of those who are coming to the faith for the first time. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you came, lived the life I couldn't live, died the death I deserved on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life. The best way I know how. And with every head bow and every eye closed, this is your moment to respond. This is your moment where you can say for the first time, I realize who I am and I realize that I need a Savior. And for the first time, I've received Jesus. I believe that he is who he says he is. And I'm going to ask you to respond on the count of three. One, two, three. If that's you and that's the first time you can say you've ever received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I want you to know that you're not walking through this alone. Maybe you're listening throughout the week, or maybe you're watching online, and maybe that's exactly how you feel, is all alone. And I want to tell you, you have a family of people who are willing to walk with you step by step in this journey to become who you were created to be. Now's the time to stop chasing the broken things. You're going to see a hand raise up that you can click online. You're going to see a place where you can email us at prayer@thevine.tv or give us a phone call or a text message at 864-580-6698. But I just want you to know today is your moment. You don't have to wrestle with yourself anymore. You don't. You can be who you were made to be. All of who you were made to be. And so don't let today pass by without being able to answer that question. Have you ever really laid it down to the Lord? And for everyone else, we're about to get ready in this moment to just have this time of worship. And in this moment, I'm about to pray for us just to see Jesus in a new way. Maybe there's a thing that you haven't laid down to the Lord. Maybe you believe Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but you've continued in this fight. You've continued in this struggle. And I'm just going to pray for us in this moment to just lay it down and just trust that what He is doing in you through this season, through this struggle, through this trial, through what seems to be a fight, is something great that He wants to do in you and something that will help you be exactly who He created you to be. So, dear Jesus, I just pray right now for all of us. Jesus, You are at work. You are always at work around us. I pray that You would give us eyes to see You, and I pray that we would just put our pride down, that we would put all these costumes down, and we would put off all of these things that hinder us, and we would be like Jacob, and we would send them on, and instead we would just get with You one-on-one and wrestle down these things that are holding us back from being all You created us to be. Jesus, I pray as we get ready to lift Your name high that we would really, maybe even for the first time in a long time, just lay it down at Your feet. Maybe it's financial issues. Maybe it's relational issues. Maybe we're having health issues. Jesus, whatever it is, I pray that we would lay it down at Your feet and that we would see You. And that when we see You, we would know that the new thing You're going to do in us is not just for us, but for those around us so that they can see You more clearly. So Jesus, right now, I pray that as You are working, we would respond. We love You, Lord. We do this all for Your glory. Amen.
Now stand and sing with us.
I love You, Lord. Oh, Your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in Your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life You have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love Your voice. You led me through the fire. Darkest night, You are close like no other. I've known You as a father, I've known You as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life You have been faithful. You have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give You everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after. your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God.
Continue to do a work in all of us. And so as we get ready to lock it up and pray, I'm just going to be praying for that. So go ahead. You know we're family here. We're going to love on everybody. If you don't love the people around you, heaven sure is going to be tough, because that's got eternity at stake. So I see everybody locking it up as we get ready to pray. And as we get in, I'm going to be praying as we go into next week as well, as we're going to talk about starving next week in Alter Ego. Something I haven't done in a while. So, starving. So, I'm just going to pray for us also. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Jesus, thank you. God, thank you that we get to do this. Thank you that I can't believe that we're coming down the barrel of 100 Sundays here and almost 2 years of the Vine. But, Jesus, more importantly, we've all got to encounter you in a new way each and every day. And so, Jesus, we get to live in your goodness or stay stuck in me first. So, Jesus, I pray that we would choose to be in your goodness, because when we are in your goodness is when we can praise and mean it. So, Jesus, today I pray for every person here. I pray that we would just continue to experience your goodness and instead continue to lay us down daily to experience you more. Jesus, I pray as the students are off tomorrow on Labor Day that they have a great day, but also I pray that the faculty and teachers would just be able to get refreshed tomorrow and be ready to come back on Tuesday. And Jesus, that they would be your light to these students. Jesus, again, we've heard of another issue in Texas. And Jesus, there is not a better time than this for us to show you to the world. We have an opportunity, and Jesus, I pray today that every person you place in front of us, we would see as an opportunity to point to you. It's not up to us to save them, but Jesus, we get the opportunity to love them right where they are and point them to you. So I pray that you would give us boldness and confidence of that. And as we go into next week and Alter Ego and we talk about starving, Jesus, I just pray that we would be starving for nothing more than you. We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Can't wait to see you next week. Always remember, we got a seat saved for you.